Welcome to everyone that is viewing right now, joined us, and Steve again. How exciting. I love, you know, I was just going through the word here, and I had just made a statement to you, and I said, there's just so much, you know, any talk about anything from any angle, and go to the word regarding whatever it is you're discussing, and you'll see,
find it, yeah.
You'll see something show up in a new, refreshing light, no matter how many, I mean, I've been honored and blessed of God to be able to read and study the word since I was a youngster, as mm-hmm. they say. And it just never ceases to amaze me. Scriptures I've read over and over and over and over and over. And I know it's that way with a lot of people. It just keeps coming alive and alive. You think how many buckets of water are in, you know, this one well? You know, how many glasses of water can you pour out of a pitcher? It's kind of like an endless pitcher of water. And here's what I want to say. Every time a problem is presented, what ends up happening if you go to the Word is you see an answer you never knew existed. The Word is eternal, and the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. So today we're talking about the Word. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. We're pulling on heaven 24/7, which means everything God said, we're pulling it into our reality. And it's really like pulling it out. You know, you think about pulling from heaven, pulling it down. Every good and perfect gift, again, comes down from the Father of lights, from God, in whom is no variation. He doesn't change his mind, no shadow of turning. But Jesus said, I want you to look deeper. When they said, show us the kingdom, he said, let's do it. You know, he said, if someone tells you it's over there or it's over here or it's coming, he said, they're deceiving you. He said, where the kingdom really is, the kingdom of God is right here. It's a today thing. Jesus, of course, is the kingdom of God. But he said, the kingdom of God is in you. And in the Greek, it says, the kingdom of God is in your grasp. So that's why we take hold of the kingdom of God. We pull on heaven. I represent that with a rope I have all the time. And we're pulling on heaven because it's strong. Drape it around your shoulders. It's right here. You don't put it off in the distance. The kingdom of God is here. It's present. It's now because the Word, Jesus, says this is where it is. So this is the greatest season of our lives, and I release that word to everyone that is watching. Receive it to yourself. No matter what you're going through, it can be a trying time, but we still have the right through Christ, the authority by the Word of God, to say this is the greatest season of my life and make a change.
Yeah.
And that's a question. Let's make it a question. Can we change this vile world, you know, that we live? You said something just before we started shooting the segment, and we said, something to the fact that, you know, we believe God can change us, but you said, I used to kind of think, I know we can change me, but can you kind of go back in time, or can you go forward to a place to where the world is a different world?
Yeah.
Or do we have to wait for the coming Savior to come in a cloud, as the Word says, come in a cloud of glory and make things right? I mean, is that what we have to wait for? And a lot of people, I think, believe I did at one point.
Yeah.
I believe that was the Savior had to be Savior again, instead of believing the Savior is Savior all the time.
Yeah, how many times is he going to save the world?
Yeah, right? how many times does it take for him to get it right? He got it right the first time.
The very first time. And so, and we listen to words like, okay, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we read Jesus saying it. But when we really think about how we apply that to not just our own lives, how we see the world, how we see the state of things today and what's going on, do we actually believe that the kingdom of God is at hand, or is the kingdom of God coming?
Right.
Does it take, you know, do we have to wait for Jesus to come back in bodily form before any difference is made? You know, and if we do, how is that any different than what the problem with the, you know, when the believers, when Jesus came the first time and they wanted him, they were looking for a physical manifestation of a administrative kingdom to make everything's work exactly the way it should, to control the nations, to set the right laws, to do all those things. And they missed him because then he said, that's not what my kingdom is. But today, I think we still think that is what his kingdom is. And it's never been what his kingdom was.
No, it's not about, he says, if this world were my kingdom, I'd fight for it. this world. What is he talking about? Well, if your governmental system, your way of thinking and controlling and ruling, if that were the means by which I was going to make the difference, then yeah, I would do that. That would be my kingdom, if that were my kingdom. But it's not. The government and the rule is the power, but not your kingdom, not man's way, my kingdom. So what did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is on the inside. All right. And then he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He said, and he said something prior to that. He said, it is expedient. It is of the essence. It's so important that I go in the form you see me today. And he said, when I go, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not leaving you. I'm making a presentation in a form that's going to become a part of you. The design you had from the beginning. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he said, and you'll receive power. And this is not strength like, you know, I've been working out and I've become a stronger Christian. This is power from on high, omnipresent, all authority, all power. Not some, not another form, not here's the bad and here's the good, all authority. Christ is all authority, all power, and it's only good and it's only God. And he said, I'm going to give you power. If you'll ask for the Spirit, I'll fill you with my Spirit and I'll give you power from on high. On high. That's power. Pulling on heaven 24/7. God, bring that power.
Bring it down.
Make us aware. So are we pulling in a time? In essence, in a sense.
We're pulling in the future.
Yeah, we're pulling in the future. But who is Christ? You know, who is he? He's that which was. So he's the past. That which is, and that which is to come. So we're waiting for the kingdom of God. Well, he said, pray, my kingdom come, my will be done. So my kingdom come like a journey, right? Like it's on its way. Well, that's not what he said. He said, it abides in you. But when it's revealed through you, it's a seed. A seed is everything that it is promised to be, but it doesn't look anything like it at all. But what it really is where it came from. We are where we came from because it's God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. When Christ sanctified us by the blood of the everlasting covenant, and he said, it is finished, he ordained, he authorized, he liberated it, he empowered, he freed us, not out of, but into his will and purpose. It's not just what we're delivered from, it's what we're delivered into that's really, 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 really important. And that is the kingdom of God. It's the representation of who Christ is. But I believe this is the problem, why we just think, you know, basically the world is just going, you know where, in a handbasket and rapid fashion. Because we have to believe, in order for it to change, that Jesus is Lord of all, in all, through all. He's Lord. But I think more often the weakness comes, the breach happens when we think he's Lord of our salvation. I mean, he's not Lord of the world.
Right.
I mean, he's got to come back and fix this thing. I mean, he saved us. And part two, you know, is for him to come back and finish what he started. He said, it is finished. You and I will receive power. But power for what? I mean, power what? We can speak in tongues, or we can prophesy or pray for the sick. And all those things. But power for what? What was that power? He said, I want you to be the representation of me in the earth. He made a pretty radical difference. He changed the heavens and the earth when he came. I mean, the heavens knew him as the Word, had never seen him as Savior, because he hadn't saved, he hadn't come yet. The Word said this was a hidden season. When Christ came, he enacted all time. When he came, he said, it's finished, meaning it's on. The past, present, and future is with you here, now, and forever. So there's nothing to wait for except to engage our faith in full confidence that he is Lord. There's a difference in believing he's God, but he's Lord means he's reigning and ruling right here, right now. And that's why I said, your government, your kingdom, the way you want it, and how much different is it today, Steve, that we're wanting what? I mean, we want righteous leaders in office, absolutely. Sure. But who's going to make it right? You know, is a government, you know, changing?
And so that we, and let's say we get them. So what do we get? More rules. So we're back to the old covenant. So our righteous leaders, what are they going to do? If we have all of our righteous leaders in government, then they're going to do the righteous laws. So we're back to doing that. Whereas the way God, I think, wanted to transform the world is I've sent Jesus so that he could manifest himself in you, so that you all, the world changes not because we've set up an institution, the world changes because we all become like him.
And I think that's where the cross in the road happens. I mean, do you really believe you can be like him? I mean, come on, I'm only human. Right. Really? Are you? Are you only human? Well, according to the word that Christ came and made us alive in the spirit, we're not only human. We're far less human than we are spirit. Yeah. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, that takes dominion. I mean, human as we know it, in reality, human we think of as a kingdom. And there are the kingdoms of men. But in comparison to the kingdom of God, they pale. God can take dominion, like he told Adam and Eve, take dominion over the world. It wasn't the dirt. The dirt spoke against them when they wouldn't believe God and take dominion over here. And what was that mindset that just really brought chaos into the garden? Eve thinking, Adam thinking, I can get something from somewhere else other than God. I can get something from something God made, you know, or an institution or a fruit or a food, or I can get something. I can become a little more knowledgeable, a little more power. I can be more like God if I do something
outside
instead of just believing what God said. He made it so easy. We make it so difficult to be like him. Believe the word of the Lord and you will be established. Believe his messengers, his prophets, and he'll increase you. He will establish you. So what God is saying, what he said then is, believe me. This is a power to take dominion over the earth. Believe I am God, and everything you're going to get to make any difference, to keep dominion, to bring peace, to bring that resolve is in me. God Almighty is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. When we serve him, we worship him, we love him, and there's the key. When we love and worship him as Lord, a different world begins to show up on the inside of us. Where does that world, where does the kingdom come from? The word says inside of you, inside of me, inside of you. How are we going to know the kingdom? Is God going to just drop it out of heaven and say, here's the kingdom?
Right.
And then what does that do? What does that do to us? It's then we're outside looking in instead of being a part of the whole. Love doesn't separate you from what love is. Love makes you a part of itself. God so loved the world that he made us a part of who he is. And we have to believe God, Jesus, is not just God, Jesus, Savior. He's Lord. He reigns and he rules. He holds the hearts of kings in his hand. The circle of the earth is under his authority and under his power. But there's something important we have to do to see it from that perspective. So I'm going to throw it back at you.
Well, I was struck by the funny thought of, you know, Paul talking about, I have been crucified with Christ, is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
So if I believe that and Christ is living in me and through me, what other external change do I need to happen in order to walk out the kingdom of God, manifest the kingdom of God, or feel that God is ruling? Because Jesus didn't need anything to change. Jesus didn't need, you know, Jesus wasn't like, okay, when I can be me some other time, then it's going to be, you know, my purpose fulfilled. He came in who he was, in the midst of who he was, and said, I'm operating this. It makes me think of the way you open and saying, when you have a problem or you have an issue, you turn to the word of God and you discover something you never knew before.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about Jesus when he was praying in the garden, and he said, Lord, this is eternal life, that they would know you. Mm. And that's the point of it all. And so therefore then, those things in the world that we want some, you know, governmental entity to remove or change or whatever, those things exist to make us ask the questions to go to the source, to actually know him in a way and discover a facet or a new lens or a prism to see God through that we would have never gotten to know him any other way.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't that the gift that we have over the angels?
It is. That we get to see by faith.
Yeah.
I mean, the word Jesus said, number one, no eye has seen, the word says. No eye, meaning heaven or earth. No eye has seen. No angelic force. No man. No eye has seen. No ear. No ear, angelic or otherwise, has heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. What is God's method then revealing through us? You can look at something and you can really want it. You can look at someone and really want to be that way. But unless you are, you're always wanting something you just can't quite get your hands on. But love puts it in your hand. That's God. Those that dwell in love, the word tells us, dwell in God. Why? Because God is love. God wants us to dwell in that power. But there's really only one way to get it. There's only one way to be that. Remember, they wanted Jesus, as you said, set up the kingdom. Samuel, the first prophet of Israel, he's saying, man, if you guys, back then, he's saying, if you hear the word of the Lord, God wants to rule your nation by the word. This is—
Yeah, they wanted a king back then in the same way, and he's like, no.
And what's God's answer? Pre-Holy Spirit, as we know, the Holy Spirit today. What was God's answer? If you listen to my word, I'll take dominion. If God could take dominion then, and God's response to the nation was, let me rule in you. What is it today after the covenant of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ being shed, and our sins being wiped away, if we'll believe Jesus is Lord, and that God has raised him from the dead? What does that mean? Believe he's Lord. He's Lord over death. He's Lord over it all. When does eternal life come? Now.
Yes.
It abides in you. We just get to experience that a seed has everything that it came from. But it has to die to itself before it realizes, hey, I am where I came from. And that's a problem, dying to ourselves. Back then, we want things to be right, is what they were saying in the day of Samuel. We want things to be right, but we want to be in control. We want someone we voted in, someone we can vote out, you know, someone we can say, you could do it this way. You should do a better job. It's the same as the Old Testament religious leaders. We have to be in control. And there's that's so lacking in power rather than being in authority through the word of God, and that changes everything. The world could change, absolutely, beyond a doubt, into everything God has called it to be. He didn't change his mind. He didn't repent of his purpose. He is the same. And that purpose still presides in power today. Jesus, the word says, was the fullness of God. The fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. How much more of God can God be? I mean, he's all God, all the time. But if we don't surrender and submit as they refused to in the day of Samuel, when they wanted a king, and even the king is running from the call. He's hiding somewhere in the luggage because he's just intimidated by the idea of being king. He just can't imagine, because no one has that power except God assign you. And God says, okay, it's kind of like God said, I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about. You have to trust me. So even the king, in order to rule in a righteous way, he's gonna have to do what you should be doing. You have to trust me and my word completely, implicitly, fully, totally. Believe I am God, fine, but believe I am Lord. Only one way we can do that, Steve, we have to worship him. We have to worship him, not so he proves he's God, but we have to believe he is Lord. And there's a difference in believing he's God Almighty and believing you're Lord of all things. You reign and you rule. You're the supreme power. You're all authority. You rule in me. I'm not powerful enough to resist you. If I believe you are Lord and worship you, then you take dominion. That's all Adam and Eve had to do. In obeying the word of God, looking at a tree that was saying, I'm over here and I look beautiful and I taste great. But God said, what is that doing? It's worshiping God. Why? Because you could make another choice, but it takes faith that no creature has except the children of men that God created, men and women, he made us. I love that song, Heaven Didn't Want to Live Be Without Us. He didn't want heaven without us. So he created us because we can't see him as the angels. In all their glory and splendor and power, word says they look at us because we're a seed. And there's something on the inside that represents where we came from, the Father, God. He created all things for his purpose and pleasure. They want to see the glory of God, same as we do. And it's endless. So how much of the glory of God can be manifest through us? It's not just the earth that we impact. We impact the heavens of God, and it pleases the Lord. I believe the earth at some point when we just believe, whatever that time is, when is that time? Is it coming? It's when we become that time. We say, this is the day, we're going to do it now, like the centurion soldier. I believe heaven will literally fall out of the sky because we become one. As the word says, we will meet together and we will come into the unity of the faith, and heaven and earth will become one. That's what the word of God says, not religion, not tradition, not man still trying to stay in a position of ruling and reigning in his authority, in his government, but saying, God, let your kingdom come. What does that mean? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's not something to wait for. It's something to realize.
Yeah, and that's the only way, if you think about it, how that union could happen, because otherwise he could do, why not do it any other time? Like, what else would he be waiting for?
Is Jesus, if he was in the fullness of God then, was there something missing? Was he or was he not? He was. So if it was all then there, why aren't we walking in it here and now? Because you have to worship him. The only way you can see God is to worship him as Lord. It's through our worship that he is revealed. It's through our worship that our minds are transformed. We're created to be worshipers. Everything God has made is a worshiper. And we are going to worship. If you refuse to worship God, you're going to worship something. It could be money, it could be power, it could be family, it can be anything. But whatever you surrender to that you believe is the answer to your peace, to your satisfaction, I see in the church, evil has been elevated as a god.
Yeah.
You know, there's this big authoritative power that every time I do good, evil, this evil god. I mean, it's still an idol, whether you hate it, despise it, you're still giving it homage and honor and attributing authority and power to it. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about demons being subject to you. I want you to look at me. Of course they are. Darkness is subject to you because you're light. But don't talk about how the darkness ran. Talk about how great the light gave you vision to see. And that's what God wants us to do. But worship is knowing, God, you're all authority and all power. There is no power but of God. And those powers which be, they're ordained by God. He is Lord. We worship him sometimes as God, but not as Lord. You're God. We know you're holy. We don't know if we can get near you or close. Christ bridged the gap. He took the space out of our relationship. He took time. You know, down the road, I'm going to be better. He took time out of the equation and said, this is the day. When you pray, say, this is a day today, right here, right now, God has made.
Yeah, it feels like in a lot of ways when you talk about idols, I mean, in some ways, time and future then becomes the idol too. And God of the next moment instead of the God of this moment,
yeah,
or even the previous moment. And so when God is always what's going to help us when we're in our trouble, or he's going to get us out of this trouble, or he's going to get us out of that, or he's going to come and he's going to take care of me and he's going to do this, which is all fantastic things, or one day he's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay. But that eliminates his active relationship and experience in our lives today, or even in the orchestration of whatever circumstances we're facing, that when we're spending so much time saying, get me out of this or save me or protect me from this, when it's like, no, you're totally missing it. If you worship me in this, that's the purpose of it.
And if not, then this is what happens. We have to consent. We have to bow to the idea that he wasn't God enough to do it through us.
Yeah.
You know, we just couldn't do it. We tried. Good, we did our best, but I guess our best wasn't good enough. You know, we tried. Jesus, the Father said, God said, give them dominion. I want them to know they can rule an unruly world by my word. I want them to know I am Lord over all things, in all things, at all times. And until we consent to that, we're not really worshiping him as Lord of all, as the Lord God Almighty. And the word says you're going to worship him, you have to worship him in spirit and truth, and you have to love and honor and worship him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, all that you are. That's the key, that simple, simple, but profound transformational point of saying, God, I know what the world looks like, but you're Lord, and I worship you as God, and all things have to work together for good, no matter how bad it looks, because I am the called according to your purpose. What can defy me? What can defy my purpose? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. It's simply waking up every morning saying, this is the greatest season of my life. No matter what, listen, we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. We all been there where it's like, wow, this could be considered the worst day of my life. And there could be numerous worst days of my life. But am I going to let the world, am I going to let the tree dominate me and try to tell me who God is and what the fix is, what the resolve is? Or am I going to believe that God is Lord over me? And if he's Lord over me, then he's going to be Lord through me because he is God. He's perfect in all. I love that scripture. This God, my God, your way, not just different things you do, your way, everything about you is perfect. And when you believe that, you're worshiping God. Greatest season of my life. Why? Because Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He's going to manifest the glory of God. I'm going to experience God. I'm going to touch heaven, pulling on heaven 24/7. We say this every now and then in church. I'll say, we're here today to make heaven restless. And someone can say, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? Do you realize in the Old Testament, there were prophets of God that would say, angels of God, worship the Lord. We're not speaking by might or power, but by his spirit. We literally believe what Jesus said. He will reign and rule through us like he intended from the beginning of time. He wants us to leave here knowing he was God enough in us to take dominion over us, that there is no flesh, there is no blood, nothing that can elevate or resist the glory and the power of God. No one is that powerful. God is all power. And we can surrender to the will of God, and even your flesh, even your past sins can't hold back the will, the purpose, and the power of God. He prevails in all things. And that's what Jesus did when he came. He showed, the word says he spoiled principalities and powers and darkness and all these things. He displayed them on his cross, triumphing over them in it all. And we immediately think, yeah, he came and gave the devil one knockout punch. No, Jesus said, I already saw him fall like lightning. We don't even have to be mindful of that. Done, finished. He didn't fall into power when he was cast out. He fell out of all power. He doesn't have any. It's finished. It's over. It's done. I give you dominion. I give you power. Read the scripture. It's talking about, it says, when our every thought, when we bring into captivity, we look at Christ and we're saying exactly what we're saying today. This is what he did on the cross. We're saying he did it all. And I mean, when he did it all, he did it all. I can walk in the glory of his kingdom and of his power, and that's where my faith goes. I believe Jesus is not only the Savior. He is Lord of my life. He is Lord of my salvation. I worship you, Lord, and in that is power. Worship the Lord, and you'll find your victory. You'll see the presence of the Lord. You'll be able to see God in you in a way you've never seen him before. How will the kingdom come if it doesn't come through us? If Christ just comes and then everything's okay because he came, then it's saying you couldn't do it, could you? Yeah. You couldn't overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith in who he is, Lord over us all.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. What a word. What a word.
You know, I was praying the other day, and God just spoke this to me inside, and he said, how do you see me? And out of me just came, I realized in my worship, I can only see you when I worship you for who you are. Because if I don't see who you really are, how can I see you for who you are? If you're Lord, I have to worship you. And it's not trying. It just comes out of us because we are made to worship. We're going to worship something. Everyone, whether they believe God, believe in God, everyone is going to worship something. It's what we do most proficiently. We are worshipers, and we will worship. But when we worship our purpose, God, When we worship him, then we see us for who we are, because we see him for who he is. Christ can be revealed in us, our hope of glory, and that's what changes the world. This is a transforming generation. Yeah. I believe that, and because I believe it, we're going to live it. And this is the greatest season of our lives. Thank you for joining us today. Steve, as always, thank you so much for sitting here, and I love throwing the ball back and forth and just hearing. It's
so fun.
There's always something in the volume of what someone else's revelation is. It's kind of like you get to open their package perspective, and it's like, man, that is such an amazing way of looking at it, and no one holds the perspective you do. It'd be very, very similar, but the way God reveals himself, because he's so eternal and never-ending, there's always something that just opens, and it's like opening a new gift every day. And so thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate you very much. God bless you, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God reveals his spirit through you in such a profound way that you're driven to your knees in worship and you see God in a way you've never seen him, that he heals you, opens your eyes, your heart, your mind, heals your home, your family, does a wonder in your life, whatever that is that you need done, whatever it is that God wants to do, God, do it in you today. And remember and declare of the Lord, something really great is going to happen to me today because God has made this the greatest season of my life. This is your day. God said it. God bless you. Until next time.